Good evening, everyone. We welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we invite you to turn with us to hymn number 354, number 354, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Would you please stand with me as we join together in singing? What a fellowship, what a joy divine. Church, you may be seated. Brother Will, let's share in prayer.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can lean on the everlasting arms of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that you never fail us, and you always forgive us when we come to you with a repentant heart. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. Thank you for this church. And I just simply pray, Father, that you would, as I prayed this morning, rain your Holy Spirit down upon us and fill our hearts so that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Again, we continue to hold the Moore family up to you, pray your blessings upon them, and we just thank you for all that you're doing for them as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
We invite you to turn for another number to number two. Number two, come thou fount of every blessing. Following this and before the pastor comes to share the evening message, Frankie Green will be sharing a special. Number two, come thou fount, and will you please stand together? Thank you, church. You may be seated. Frankie, come and bless our hearts with a special.
Life can be so good. Life can be so hard. Never knowing what each day will bring to where you are. Sometimes I forget, and sometimes I can't see that whatever comes my way, you'll be with me. My life is in your hands. My heart is in your keeping. I'm never without hope, not when my future is with you. Your hands, and though I may not see it clearly, I will lift my voice and sing, 'cause your love does amazing things. Lord, I know my life is in your hands. Nothing is for sure, nothing is for keeps. All I know is that your love will live eternally. So I will find my rest, and I will find my peace, knowing that my every need. My life is in your hands. My heart is in your keeping. I'm never without hope, not when my future is with you. My life is in your hands. And though
Thank you, Frankie. Dr. Blank and I were not cutting up. Trey had left a big glob of bubble gum right there under the seat there. There's a big glob of bubble gum, and so I had a piece of tissue in my pocket, and that's what we were doing. So, Frankie, if we distracted you, it's Dr. Blank's fault. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to say more next week about what happened today. I'm going to cut this a little bit short so that there is something I do want to do tonight in regards to the call this morning, and I cannot tell you how grateful that I am. But Philippians chapter 3, if you will turn with me, please, and I'll begin at verse 10, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forget those things which are behind, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press for the goal, for the mark of the high calling of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. That has been one of my mantra verses. Forget the past, even the good things sometimes. I mean, you can't live in the past, the good old days, right? You forget the past, and you press on towards the mark, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. So I've entitled this tonight, Living for the Glory of God No Matter What. We talked about contentment. Well, I want to use a word that goes along with contentment tonight. It doesn't seem to go along with it, but it does, and it's the word perseverance. And that's a word often not talked about this day and time. Webster defines perseverance as to persist in or remain constant to a purpose, idea, or task in the face of obstacles or disappointments. Now, according to Colossians 3:16, we have to make sure that our purpose and our task and all these other stuff, we have to make sure in our ideas they are in accordance to the will of God. I'm going to share a story with you. You've heard this story, so I want you to humor me. I know you've heard it, but please stay with me for a minute. I heard this first from Chuck Swindoll one time. A ship was going through the North Atlantic when a captain spots a distant light. The captain was concerned because he thought the light was on a collision course with the ship. So he radios, he says, change course 10 degrees south. And he soon receives a transmission back, no, you changed course 10 degrees north. So the captain's angry. He says, this is ship captain so-and-so of the United States Navy with 25 years seniority. Now you changed course 10 degrees south. Comes back, says, this is Seaman Third Class Jones with 3 years experience. You changed 10 degrees north. The captain's furious. He yells back into the radio. He says, this is a United States naval battleship. Now you change 10 degrees south. The voice comes back after a little while and says, this is a lighthouse. You change 10 degrees north. And I share that to say this. It is so easy to persevere when it really becomes stubbornness. You know, we all like to persevere, don't we? We got our back against the wall. We got the John Wayne theology, right? We're going to have it our way. We're going to persevere. We're going to press on. We're going to go over the top. And we should have that persevering attitude, but we have to make sure it's for the right reason. And churches, y'all, we can get very, I can get very sometimes obstinate or get stubborn. If you don't believe it, ask Lisa. And so I have to ask myself, am I really concerned about perseverance or am I worried about having my way? Sometimes it's with me one way, sometimes it's with another. But it's something that God will only bless if it's perseverance that really honors him. Now, again, I'm going to share one other story with you. This is something I had in my files, and you've heard it before, but it does make a good point. Two frogs fell into a cream bowl. One was an optimistic soul, but the other took the gloomy view. We shall drown, he cried without much ado. So the last despairing cry, he flung up his legs and he said goodbye. But the other frog with a merry grin said, I can't get out, but I won't give in. I'll just swim around till my strength is spent, then I will die the more content. Bravely he swam, it would seem, like his struggles began to churn the cream. And on top of the butter at last he stopped, and out of the bowl he gaily hopped. What of the moral? Tis easily found. If you can't hop out, keep swimming around. Now, I read that to say this. How many times have churches closed their doors because they didn't persevere for the right thing? You know. Sometimes churches, and I know I'm harping on unity, and this is so important, I think. When churches persevere for the right things, they'll never close. You believe that? I believe that. If you persevere, if you have Jesus Christ doing what, the reason why you're doing what you're doing as a couple, as a Christian, as a couple, as a family, as a church, if you persevere and do it for the right reasons, God will always bless. If we're being arrogant or stubborn, it will fail. You might go on for a while. It might go on for a while. But, I mean, you know, we might do things just out of nit grit. I just got to do it, And after a while, you just burn out. Okay. So anyway, I think people quit. Let me give you, these are not, this is not all encompassing here. These are what I call four common fallacies about the Christian life, why people quit. Okay. Oh, these are reasons people quit because they believe the wrong thing. Because you're a Christian, your problems are solved. I know people who preach that. I know people personally who say that if you have health, if you don't have health, and if you don't have wealth, they will tell you that something's wrong with your faith if you don't have those things. Did I tell y'all, and I think I did, about the lady in my first church in Hartsville? Her family left our church because I have a handicapped daughter, and she left because the pastor didn't have enough faith to heal her daughter. I tell y'all that. Anyway, okay. So, see, she thinks if you've got, and many people believe that if you're a Christian, you won't have problems. And people fall by the wayside and they say, well, you know, I've got problems. Therefore, I must not be a Christian. I'm not a good Christian. And because I'm just going to drop out. Yet Peter speaks of fiery darts and roaring lions. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he speaks of being afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. I call that perseverance. In 1 Corinthians 4, he said, we are fools for Christ's sake. To this present hour, we are both hungry and thirsty. We are poorly clothed and are roughly treated, and we're homeless, but he persevered. Paul was looking at life in the total sense, not in the immediate. And the world will tell you, if you're a Christian, then you should never be upset emotionally. I hate to bring this up right now, but I'm going to. I have seen a preacher tell a Christian at a funeral, you shouldn't cry. Now, if I ever want to hit a preacher, that was it. But he said, you shouldn't cry. You give glory to God. He'll give you the grace. Don't cry. And I wanted to ask him, what's the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus. Well, there you go. Jesus, well, John 11:35, right? I heard that. When you're in hospice, you hear a lot of things. You go to a lot of funerals and you hear a lot of things. Interesting things. The sea captain's philosophy is this. If the sea is not calm, it's going to get rough. And if it's rough now, it's going to get calm. Just stay the course. Okay. So all your problems are going to be solved. And here's another one that someone told me one time. The reason he is not a Christian because he said the Bible... You say the Bible is relevant to today's life. I said, yes. He said, but all my problems are not addressed in the Bible. Okay? That's it. That's what he said. And he think if you believe this is really God's word, then all the problems you ever have are addressed in the Bible. Really? Well, can I be the first to tell you they're not? Can I be the first to tell you that they're not? There are many times we don't have explicit answers in Scripture, but I can tell you there's a principle that applies to it. What he was referring to at the time was pornography on the internet. Where does the Bible address that? Okay. Well, Psalm 101, verse 3, I think says, I will put nothing evil before my eyes. Right? I think that's the correct one. 101, verse 3. Yeah, George is going to check me out. Don't put anything evil before your eyes. Does that address pornography? Don't lust in your heart. Does that address pornography? Yeah. Yes, it does. And so, of course, it's not the same thing. His point was, it doesn't address the internet. Really? Now, you know, this sounds silly to us, but you go out, you get out to Turbeville, you go to some of these places, and they, this is really what, they have no Sunday school idea of anything except what they see in Christians and what they hear in professing Christians. And so this is what they hear. That number one, if you're a Christian, you don't have problems. And number two, the Bible addresses every problem you have. And it does not. It has principles that apply to every problem you have. That's important. Because many people fall by the wayside. I don't know. I love to read John MacArthur, if you are familiar with him. He told the story one time of he was counseling a young couple. It was a youth pastor, and he had gotten married to one of the youth who had just turned 18. So they came to MacArthur for marital counseling, and they were about as far apart as you can get, you know. And he said, he asked sometimes what I want to ask, why did y'all ever get married? I mean, why did y'all get married? What, I don't get it. I mean, and she said, well, he told me, there you go. He told me that God told him it was his will for those two to get married. He said, so I sat her down and I applied God's word to this problem. I marched around her seven times, and I hollered on the seventh time so the stone walls of her heart would come tumbling down. And said, it's God's will now for your stubbornness, for your obstinance to come away. God has done it. So what was he applying? Jericho? Joshua? Jericho? Now, did that happen? Yeah, it happened, right? And it worked, right? Did that have anything to do with this? No. I mean, you know, that's like Chad out there in a boat. He says, come to me. Okay, I'll walk on the water to you because Jesus did. I mean, that's how people do this. They'll take the Bible and just make it say all kinds of, so the world says this thing's not relevant. I mean, that's really what it gets. This is just not relevant, they would say. And I would say, yes, it is. Or people will say, you know, you've got to, the Bible's going to give you exactly God's will. Dr. Blank knows this too. The years I taught at the college, you see these young college people, and mainly they would say something like, I'm looking for God's will who to marry. Now, that's fair. Are we all in agreement with that? That's a good thing. Who's God's will for me to marry, right? But they're waiting on God to point out somebody that looks just like Shad. You know, just tall, dark, good looking, you know. Yeah, you know. It doesn't work like that. You know, it doesn't work like that. And people get all confused, and where's God's will? Where's God's will? Where's God's will? And God gives principles. Number one, if somebody tells me they're dating someone, what's the first question I ask? Are they a Christian? That's number one. Uno, that's number one right there. Are they a Christian? Now, just because they're a Christian doesn't mean you have to marry them, right? Some Christians can act like jerks. In case you didn't know that. My point is, yes, the Bible is relevant. It does address the principles to everything that we may ever face, and that's important. And if we know that, then we'll persevere and want to do God's will. Use the principle he's given us. Number one, if he's a Christian, fine. Number two, do I like him? Do we have the same, you know, common desires together, that type of thing, the same goals in life? So that's the second thing. All the problems you ever have are addressed in the Bible. Well, no, they're not. Not explicitly. The third thing is, it goes back to really number one, if you're having problems, something's wrong with you. Well, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. He continues on. He says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly would I rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am made strong. And so the mature Christian would say, my problems can make me better. The immature Christian or the world would say, no, your problems mean you're not a Christian. Well, if that be the case, I don't think any of us are Christians then. Would you agree with that? I've had people say, I prayed to be healed. I prayed to be healed. And I wasn't healed. You know, we've anointed Carol Ann with oil. That's biblical. We prayed for her, laid hands on her, and she still has cerebral palsy. Now, does that mean we're out of God's will? Does that mean Carol Ann did something wrong? And she has been one of the greatest blessings in the distress and all these other things Paul just mentioned. You know? One of the greatest blessings. So one day in heaven, she's going to run up to me and say, Daddy, this is what I was trying to tell you that day, and you got frustrated. You know, this is what I was trying to tell you, Daddy. And the time you picked me up and you screamed because your back hurt and said, oh, my back hurts. I groan now when I don't have to. But anyway, so what? It's simply this, y'all. Being part of good Bible teaching, Sunday school preaching, is a great thing, but that in a, I've had people say, I'll say, are you a Christian? Do you love the Lord? Well, I go to Mount Calvary Baptist Church. I'm just making up a name. Okay, good. Now, do you love the Lord? Well, you know, Preacher Jones is over there, and he's a good fundamental. My granddaddy was a preacher. All right, that's good. Now, do you love the Lord? You see what I'm saying? Just going to a good church doesn't make you necessarily a good Christian. It might make you go knock on his doors when you don't want to, but, you know, not doing it for the right reason. Now, with that being said, that's a good place for me to stop right here. One thing I want to say before I say what I want to say, can I do it like that? This morning, I'd made some phone calls. I had no idea our kids had been going out giving flyers. And that was not what I was talking about. Ashley knows that when she was at Grace Baptist, it's an independent high school in Columbia. They would load up young teens in buses and drop them off, boy, girl, you know, in neighborhoods I would not want my daughter to go into, unsupervised. That was my problem. I want you to understand that. I get in the car tonight, this afternoon, Lisa said, do you know that? I said, Laura, honey, I did not know. I did not know. So that's not what I was talking about, okay? Okay? And if it had been, I would have never addressed it from the pulpit. Not in 1,000 years, you know. So I asked Laura, were you a no vote? No, I didn't. So I want y'all to know that if I had had a problem, it would have not been from the pulpit. I can promise you that. I would have gone to Patrick, Laura, I'd have gone to whomever. But it would never have been from the pulpit. That's not the way I do things. I didn't have a clue. I promise y'all. That's not hard for you to believe that I didn't have a clue, right? That's not hard to believe. This is the core group. I do thank y'all 1,000 times over. Ashley came in the office, and I said, now, how God works, I said, because you were how old when I left? She was 11. George, you were about 21, weren't you? I never would have thought I'd be sitting in that chair again or in this pulpit again like this. It is amazing how God works. Now, I love Rodney and Teresa. I love them. I love them very much. I mean, I just love them to death. But the Lord worked it out. I had no intention. Skips asked me to preach several times when Rodney was gone, and I said, no, I love you, but no, I just don't want to do it. But when the interim came open, when Trey called me, you know, I preach about a second work of grace and a 30th work of grace. I'm telling y'all, that was one time I knew. When he called me, we were about to go on vacation to the beach, Edisto, in February. That's when you can afford it. And I would say, all right, this changes my vacation now to more of a working vacation in a sense of kind of planning things out, you know, in my mind how I want to go with this. And I told Lisa, I said, the Lord's doing something in my heart that I didn't expect. Believe me. And then the miracle of the miracles is in her heart too. Because I told Ashley, she's asked me before, do you think you'll ever come back to Turbeville? And I mean this, ain't no way. That's what I would say, no way. It ain't no way. It's just not going to happen. And I'm telling the truth. I mean, I didn't seek it. But I promise y'all, I really believe. Now, I told Trey this from the beginning. I said, I have perfect peace putting my name in. I have perfect peace. I didn't say it was God's will for y'all to vote me in. I didn't say that, but I said, I have perfect peace doing this. And I could have stayed with the Metisus in 7 years, 6 years, oh, Lord, retire. But, I just knew. This is, you know, when the Lord called me into the ministry, Dr. Blank preached my ordination service. I was right here. He was right there. You remember that? I knew God called me in the ministry. I knew it. I just knew it. When I went to Bible college, Ashley was 6 weeks old. Yeah. Went to seminary. We had to go down and do my week. What do you call them? Modular course. We go for the modular courses for a week. And that would be our vacation. We'd go to Jacksonville Beach, and I'd go and stay in class all week long. So I knew the Lord called me to the ministry. But when I left Bowman, I thought I was done. I thought, I'm done. Gave away most of my library. I thought, I'm still in the ministry. I had people say, when'd you quit the ministry? Well, I don't call it the hospice chaplaincy quitting the ministry. Believe me, it's still the ministry. And you meet the best people in the world under the most difficult of circumstances. And I love the chaplaincy. But one's not easier than the other. I don't think I'm coming to an easier ministry. But, no. It's not like, believe me, you know how it is. When I left Bowman, I thought I'm done. What I didn't know, for a year, they listed me in the journal as being disabled. And I like to have a fit because I said, I called John Hutt. They did it so I wouldn't have to keep writing the letters every year. Well, because, Carolyn, I can't always go to Chaco Springs and all this stuff. And so they did that. And I said, John, I work more hours than you do. As a chaplain, didn't mean that ugly, but I just said, and so that was changed, but it was just amazing. Would I have chosen for Rodney to leave? No. I loved his preaching. I loved Teresa. So it's nothing against that at all. But it's just the way when it was timed, how God put it in my heart, and I know He put it in my heart because, believe me, this was not what Billy was expecting. Okay? So I promise y'all, by God's grace, I'm going to do the very best I can. I'm going to preach the best I can by God's grace. And one thing I'm going to do well, I'm going to put this in my little letter. I got to put this in the pastor's thing for the circuit rider. I couldn't write it yet because I wasn't sure I was going to be the preacher yet. I had to wait after today. And you can hold me to this. Unless someone tells me otherwise, the sick and shut ain't going to get visited every week. Now, you might say, Billy, I want you to come every week. That's all right. I'm going to write that down. Okay? Yeah, I'm a good record keeper. If you're in the hospital, I'm going to go see you every day. Florence, Manning, something. If you're in Charleston or Columbia, you know, I'll try to do the best I can. Unless you tell me not to. Don't anybody tell me, oh, Billy, you don't have to come see us. We're good. You're going to get one visit. I might be in your house 50 times, but one's going to be the official visit. Everybody's going to get a visit, okay? I might go other times, but you're going to get the official visit. So don't, I'm going to do that. I learned as a hospice chaplain, preachers don't visit. I was on the other side of the bed, you know, when somebody was sick. And I may have told you this, but I would say, all right, tell me about your faith. They tell me. Did I tell y'all this? I probably did. Tell me about your faith. Good. All right, you're a Christian. Tell me about your church. Okay, I heard of that church. Good, good. Does your preacher come see you? I heard this more times than I can count. Well, you know, he's kind of busy. And what I want to say is, well, you're dying. What trumps that? I heard that a lot. A lot. And so, I'm building up a database. If you can believe I'm doing that, but I am a database of everybody, name, address, phone numbers, email addresses. I ain't going on Facebook. I got to get updated directory. Some of these children here were a lot smaller when that directory came out. But I promise you, I'm going to do my very best. I'm excited, if you can't tell that. I am excited. I believe we are a clear, strong church. I do. I love that thing I used this morning, okay? The sequoias, trees, how they hold each other up. That's what a church does. Are we going to have disagreements? The preacher's going to talk about kids going out giving out flyers. No, we're going to have disagreements. But, you know, they shouldn't become big deals. If anybody has any concerns, I mean, seriously, there's nothing you can't come to me about. You've got my cell phone. You've got my home phone, email address, home address. If you need me for anything, all you got to do is call me. And we will get together. I'm excited about shepherding a flock again. I mean, I really am. I was here 25 years ago. Hopefully I'm a little wiser. Back then I knew it all. Do you know that? I knew everything back then. I learned what I don't know now. You know what I mean. Hopefully I'm wiser. And the amazing thing is, y'all took me back anyway, you know? And I'm highly appreciative to the Lord. Now, have you got any questions you want to ask me? This is a fine time. I'm already voted in now, but I'm in now, so I want you to know that. Any questions you want to ask me?
We're excited.
Thank you. I am excited as well. I thought this morning, I told Laura, I said, it would be the last time before the vote, I would step in. I would step in mud. It would be. But I am excited. And y'all do pray for me. Now, I will say this. These next 2 weeks are going to be interesting because I'm trying to end one ministry and I'm trying to end well and start well. You know, it's part of the contract to finish out 2 weeks. And so I'm, and Dr. Blank's still going to be involved as well. I'm trying to end well. After 7 years, I want to end well. But at the same time, I want to start well. So just have a little patience with me on that. When y'all voted Rodney and Trey said, y'all waited 10 months or something. You can wait 2 weeks. I'm not going to be gone 2 weeks. I'll be here. But I'm just saying that I'm going to try my best. The big boy on the back row. I might rescind that now, but go ahead.
I'd like to ask the
altar. Hey, yeah. Let's do that. Let's do that right now. And Patrick, I'll let you lead. Yes, sir. I would greatly appreciate that. And Patrick, why don't you lead? And then anybody can who pray, then Dr. Blank, I'm going to kneel right here. And somebody lay hands on me.